This morning, we're going to talk about the past, we're going to talk about the future, we're going to talk a little bit about the present, and what these things mean as far as Scripture goes. The road signs up here, there's the past, here's the future. And sometimes you've heard slogans, maybe they're on a t-shirt or a poster or something like that, and they say, look at the past to see the future, or those who do not learn from the past are condemned to repeat it. A lot of cliche sort of sayings. One saying that I found this week in particular was by an English philosopher. I have no idea if he believed in God or not, but R.G. Collingwood says, history is for human self-knowledge. The only clue to what man can do is what man has done. The value of history, then, is that it teaches us what man has done and then what man is. The thing that struck me about that is we constantly look at our past, the mistakes that we've made. Oh, don't want to repeat that again. Doggone it. Need to do better. We look at the future and say, this is what I want to do. And Scripture gives us a very kind of neat look at what was, what is, and what is to come. And so when I was praying about this week, the Lord brought the book of Genesis to my mind, and he brought the story of Noah. So I'm talking, let's go back to Sunday school for just a second. And let's think about the ark, and let's think about the flood, and let's think about everything that was Noah. And as I began to read the story of Noah, I landed in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. And his heart was deeply troubled. The Lord said, I will wipe out from the face of this earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I actually cried when I read this the first time this week, because my heart broke. My heart broke over this, and I said, oh God, what is it that was within you that caused you to say this? What must the hearts of man have been like during this time that you actually said, I've created all of mankind in my image. They are special to me. They are my creation, and I love them deeply. For you just to turn around a little while later and say, I regret that I have made human beings on this earth. And his heart was deeply troubled by this. The interesting thing was, as I prayed about it, the Lord gave me some truth, that my perspective was actually incorrect. It wasn't so much that, oh God, what could have caused this? But the hearts of man have always been the same. God says, I look at the heart, not the outward appearance of man. So for God to sit here in Genesis and say, I'm looking at the human heart, which is evil all the time, maybe I should be saying, oh God, why haven't you wiped us out? Why have you saved us through Jesus Christ? Why has your mercy been so abundant? Why isn't this poured out today upon this world as we see evil everywhere? The flood was a way that God dealt at the time with the evil of man. Later later, he deals with it in the cross of Christ. And a little while later, in Genesis, we read, chapter 8, verse 21, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. And the Lord laments to himself, and he's saying, I don't want to do this again. I have established my covenant with you, 9-11. He's speaking to Noah, never again will all of life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. Never again will God do this again as he has done. But, and I do have to say but, there is coming a day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There is coming a day when the second coming of Christ isn't going to be like his first coming. There is coming a day when Christ will reign and rule in every way. And he says, with my coming, there is coming judgment. Matthew, Jesus says, my words are always true. I am always here with you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows the hour of the day, not even the messengers in heaven, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. And at that time, it will be like the time of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. In the days before the flood, people were making lives for themselves. They were eating and they were drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, making plans and having children and growing old. Until the day Noah entered the ark, those people had no idea what was coming. They knew nothing of the floods until the floods were upon them, sweeping them away. That is how it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. As Jesus reflects upon the flood, and he reflects upon what it was that the evil of man, maybe even at that time, people looked at each other and said, well, this is just life. This is just how we live. This is just because they were eating and drinking. They were marrying. They were doing everything that we normally do in life. And it will be a shock to them, as it was when the rain started to fall from the heavens. And Jesus, in his truth, says, in my second coming, yes, this heavens and this earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. For those who are in Christ Jesus, this isn't something to fear, this is something to look forward to. And Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 3. So now we're looking at what is to come. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffers following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of the water and by the water. And by these waters, also the world, the time, was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens, the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Again, we see what is coming is a judgment, is a destruction, but not like the flood. It is reserved at a time that Jesus will come back, is reserved at this point in time, and it will be done this time for fire instead of by water. Since everything today might as well be gone tomorrow, do you see how essential it is to live a holy life? Expect daily the God, eager for his arrival. The galaxies will burn up and the elements will melt down that day. but we will hardly notice. We will be looking the other way, ready for the promised new heavens and promised new earth, all landscaped with righteousness. So the question is asked, how are we supposed to live, and how are we going to live today? Because God is patient, God waited for the ark to be built before the floods came, and God patiently waits for every human being to come into a place of repentance. We, as Christians, long for the second coming of Christ. We long to be free of these earthly bodies. But Peter is asking a question here. He says, how should you live? So if there was a flood, if there was this disaster upon the earth, if everything was wiped out and only Noah was saved, and Jesus is saying, in the same way, my second coming will happen, how should you live? How should you live your life? We should grow in grace and faith and virtue and knowledge. We should remain steadfast to the truth. We should grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and give thanks and praise to him and join with the apostles saying, to him be the glory both now and forever. So as Christians look at the coming of Christ, as Christians look at what is to come, it's not a fear, it is a hope. It is the hope that is given to us in Christ Jesus. It is the hope not that we will be destroyed, but that we will be saved. But not everybody will be saved. In the book of Amos, as many other books, talk about the day of the Lord. Woe, judgment is coming. Who desires this? Who desires the day of the Lord? Why would you want this? Woe to you who desire only for yourself. Woe to you who desire just to be saved and that's it. Because when the Lord comes, it will not be for everybody as it will be for us. The Lord looks at the heart, as he did in the days of Noah, so he did today. The Lord looks at our hearts and says, it is desperately wicked, and there is only one hope of salvation, the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. Pray with the realization that you are perfect only in Christ Jesus. Don't allow yourself to pray on a basis that would say, oh Lord, I've done my best. Please now do for me. For there is only one who can save, and that is Christ. If God looks at the heart, what is the condition of our heart? Do we have the desire to know Christ? Do we have the desire to know him in spite of the coming judgment and despite what is going to happen to this earth? Are we at a place to where we want to know Christ in a more intimate setting? Peter asks, how are you living? Are you talking about your faith? Are you talking about Jesus to other people? Do you yourself want to know him better, or are you simply satisfied with how you are living now? Do you want more? As the ark saved Noah, so Christ saves us. There is nothing to fear. Let us go and proclaim what he has given us. Not that you need to stand with a sign that says that the end of the world is coming, but to remind people that this is not all there is, that there is more that awaits us in the life to come. How are you living today? The hope that I have in that simple question is that I don't have to do it myself. That I have the Holy Spirit who helps me live rightly and helps me to desire God. It is just a simple prayer. It's just simply asking. If God does not condemn you through Christ Jesus, then there is nothing to worry about. Let's pray. Jesus, you're coming back one day, and I look forward to that. I look forward to the fact that I don't have to do anything to please you, but that I am accepted in you. That even though there is coming a day when all this will end, my hope is in you. May we praise you with our lips. May we glorify you. Love you. In Jesus' name, amen.